Okay, the Australian Open is a huge event for this town, and we love it. It's important, one of the important events for this town. It's got some problems. Reports today that some of the big names are threatening to boycott in January over prize money, starting an alternative tournament in Dubai. On the line, Todd Woodbridge, the head of professional tennis for Tennis Australia, is in New York at the moment. Hello, Todd.
Good morning, Neil.
What's going on? Could this happen?
I don't think so. I think if I can give you a bit of background, about 10 years ago, I spent 2 years, or 3 years in fact, two as the vice president, one of the as the president of the Players Council of the ATP, that's the Association of Tennis Professionals. And we, at that time, tried to pressure the Grand Slams into releasing more of their funds into prize money. Now, the Australian Open's actually led the way in that department over the last 5 years. It's been the groundbreaker in trying to get money advanced. And I think what the players are trying to achieve is to get more money across the sport. So the top guys are doing great. We all know they make fortunes. But, Neil, I just had a look at the prize money earnings of the 100th-ranked player for the year to date, and he's making $220,000. Now, that sounds like a lot, but when you have to put in travel, coaching, and all of those sorts of things, and your taxes as well, they actually don't clear very much. So it's, in essence, trying to broaden the sport.
Okay. Is there a possibility of a boycott, do you think?
Yeah, look, that's been thrown around for a while, that one, and it was even sort of talked about at the last Australian Open. I think it's highly unlikely that there would be a boycott of the Australian Open. I know that Tennis Australia and the tournament director, Craig Tiley, in particular, has done a great job over the last 6 months with the relationship building of all the top players. And I think he's gone to them, explained what the Australian Open is trying to do with their money, how they're trying to support them in their cause. And I think it would be very, well, I would be very shocked if that was to happen. I think we're in good shape.
Well, how much money would the Australian Open set aside to pay the players then?
Oh, look, I think that off the top of my head, Neil, I think that the total purse is close to $24 million in prize money.
Jeez.
So that covers all of the events. So that's men's and ladies' singles, doubles, mixed, the senior events, anything that has prize money attached to the tournament itself.
And is it, I mean, obviously the number 100 player in the world doesn't expect to make huge money out of it. What would be fair? If they're making $220,000, by the time they pay their costs, they'd probably be lucky to break even, wouldn't they? If they employ somebody.
Yeah, and that's the point. And if you want to be successful in any sport, you've got to have a coach and a physical trainer, and you need to spend money to be good at it. And that's the point that everybody's trying to get across is, I think if you take a look at an AFL list and you see how many players are actually on it, and we're talking about a 100th ranked player in the world making $220,000, well, I'm not sure off the top of my head what the minimum wage is at the AFL, but I think it's around $150 or so, and or at least $100. And you can see that they have no costs going on to their training and so forth. So really, it's the top players that are fighting, trying to spread the money down a little lower. So, I mean, Roger Federer has been a spokesperson for it, but it's not in essence about him himself making more money.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? When we went through this in cricket and in the news at the moment with World Series cricket, where the players then did get quite a good deal. I guess the problem is it's the lower players rather than the top one. You think they'll get much sympathy? Because number 100 in the world, 100 in the world's a terrific achievement, obviously, but it's not going to be glamorous, is it?
No, it's not. But look, I think that all of the Grand Slams are supportive of trying to make more players viable on the tour. And I mean, you can't have development of smaller tournaments to get the next generation through if you don't have that. So I think it's important that there's some focus on that. I think there's probably a lot of this needs to be deflected back to the ATP, that's the Association of Tennis Professionals, in that they need to really work hard at the regular tour. So that's all of the events that go in between the Grand Slam tournaments, the tournaments like, let's say, Cincinnati that has been leading into the US Open. They're the events that have got to work hard at actually getting their prize money up, because I think they're the ones that are leaving things behind. It's not the Grand Slams. They've been keeping up where they've needed to. And I think the Australian Open, of course, and that's what we're talking about, Neil, the Australian Open's in really good shape.
Good to talk to you. Take care and enjoy New York. Thank you. Todd Woodbridge.